See you right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the FIFA Arab Cup football tournament in Qatar. This competition is a prelude to the 2022 FIFA World Cup, which also will be held in Qatar. Wednesday proved to be a very good day for North African teams at the Arab Cup, as Egypt, Algeria, and Morocco all won their opening matches. In Doha, the Pharaohs of Egypt beat Lebanon 1-0 on a penalty kick by Mohamed Afsha in the 71st minute. In Al Rayyan, the Desert Foxes of Algeria, the reigning African champions, beat Sudan 4-0. Baghdad Bounedjah scored 2 goals for the Algerians. And in Al Wakra, the Atlas Lions of Morocco defeated Palestine by that same 4-0 scoreline. Abdelilah Hafidi scored 2 goals for the Moroccans. And in one more FIFA Arab Cup match Wednesday, Jordan edged Saudi Arabia 1-0. Now, Egypt, Algeria, and Morocco are using the FIFA Arab Cup as a warm-up for the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which begins January 9th in Cameroon. And Tunisia also sees the Arab Cup as a tune-up for the Nations Cup. The Tunisians defeated Mauritania Tuesday 5-1 in their first Arab Cup match. Thursday is a rest day at the FIFA Arab Cup. Action resumes Friday with 4 matches. Tunisia takes on Syria. Mauritania will meet the United Arab Emirates. Bahrain will play Iraq. And Qatar will host Oman. The FIFA Arab Cup final is scheduled for December 18th in Al-Khor, Qatar.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to Nairobi, where Nick Mwendwa has stepped aside as president of Football Kenya Federation after being charged with multiple counts of fraud. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, David Kwalimwa.
The embattled Kenyan FA president, Nick Mwendwa, has been undergoing a lot of challenges and brushing shoulders with the security apparatus in the country ever since he fell out with the government a couple of months ago. Recently, he has been arrested on 2 different occasions and charged before the anti-corruption court in Nairobi with fraud-related charges. He's now out on a $100,000 bail application, which he just paid. So with all this in the background, he's decided to step aside from football management in a letter that has been seen by the public and sent to the media. Mwendwa has said that he needs time off football management to fight his corruption allegations leveled against him. He maintains he's innocent and says that he believes that he will be cleared of all the charges. But in the meantime, as he fights these charges, he's handed over power or the reins of the Football Kenya Federation to his deputy, Doris Petra. Doris Petra is now the first woman president, woman football president in Kenya, following Mwendwa's decision to step aside. And as it is right now, a bit of a tricky age of it, because as you may know, the government of Kenya has disbanded Football Kenya Federation and set up a caretaker committee to more or less oversee the affairs of football in the interim pending fresh election. So whatever happens at Football Kenya Federation, whether Mwendwa steps aside or not, the government doesn't quite seem to be bothered. So it is a very interesting scenario right now in football circles. And that, another important thing maybe to just relate, Mwendwa's decision to step aside and hand over power to Doris Petra is akin to, if you remember recently, American President, U.S. President Joe Biden temporarily handed over power to his deputy or the vice president, Kamala Harris, when he was undergoing the operation. So that's more or less a similar situation with what is happening in Kenyan football. His decision to step aside has been received with the mixed reactions, with the majority of Kenyan football fans thinking is the best thing both for him and Kenyan football, considering the circus that has engulfed the football scene in recent times.
Do you think Nick Mwendwa's decision to step down has any link to his court case?
Well, as I explained, Mwendwa has four counts of corruption-related charges on him right now. The mention of the case, he's been charged with misappropriation of close to 38 million Kenya shillings, which give or take is about $380,000. Of federation money, which is to a large extent public money. He's been charged with embezzling that amount. The mention of the case is on December 20th, and he has been accorded stringent bail terms, which include depositing his passport in court, paying $100,000 equivalent of cash bail, not being able to access his office, his football office, for the duration of the case, and not being able to interact with fellow football officials and FKF staff and witnesses in the case, which more or less technically makes him unable to be in charge of football management. And of course, the Kenyan law indicates that or states that when you are charged with any corruption-related offense, for any public official, you have to step aside, you have to leave office and fight the charges, clear your name and get back into office. So this could have been the main reasons behind Mwendwa's stepping aside.
Which way for Football Kenya Federation? Any response from Football World Governing Body, FIFA, and other affiliated bodies to the Football Kenya Federation?
The way forward lies squarely on the doorstep of FIFA and the government of Kenya. There have been behind the scenes negotiations between these two entities, which is FIFA and the government of Kenya, on the way forward following Mwendwa's arrest and following the disbandment of Football Kenya Federation. FIFA did send a letter saying that what the government of Kenya did to disband Football Kenya Federation was unconstitutional and unlawful, and it would have attracted a ban on all football activities on Kenya. So the proceeds of the negotiations between the government and FIFA are yet to come to the limelight. But as it is right now, it is looking likely that there could be a normalization committee formed by FIFA and the government. Remember, just this week, Guinea and Chad, FIFA did impose normalization committees in Guinea and Chad. And earlier on, there have been other normalization committees in Egypt and Cameroon. So that is looking likely as the way forward, even as the government and FIFA does negotiate. But the way forward for Mwendwa is to sit back, reflect, look at probably what might have gone wrong, and concentrate all his energies on fighting the case before him in court. He's saying this case has really affected him at a personal level for his family, and at a business level with his personal businesses in Nairobi. So he has his work cut out for him, because most corruption cases in Kenya do take an average of 2.5 years to be settled. So it looks like it's going to be a long road for Mwendwa within the corridors of justice to just clear his name.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi. Let's stay in Kenya now. A video game company in the country has launched a football game that encourages young men to be active during the pandemic and helps stop gender-based violence. Surveys show about 40% of Kenyan women will face gender-based violence. Lenny Ruvaga reports from Nairobi.
We are in Mathare, an informal settlement about 10 kilometers from Kenya's Nairobi, where we find gamer Jamila Odhiambo. Today, Odhiambo is introducing the junior football team at Mathare Youth Sports Association to a video football game with a special purpose.
You have to get the ball, okay?
Futa, Swahili slang for football, plays like any other video game. But to progress to the next level, players must answer a series of questions designed to educate them about gender-sensitive violence.
It's really interesting because when you're playing the game, even the men can learn how to handle the women. They can learn how to go through challenges that affect us as girls and as women. And yeah, we're good to go. Everybody's okay.
Players score additional points by using the phone app Google Fit to monitor their exercise. Usiku Games CEO Jay Shapiro says Kenyan coders partnered with GIZ Regional Project Sport to develop futaa exclusively for Africa and for free.
So we're trying to combine the fact that the youth love football and love games and taking those two and putting them together to try and teach some social values around good sportsmanship, fairness, and trying to reduce gender-based violence.
Rights group Equality Now says about 40% of women in Kenya in their lifetimes will face sexual and gender-based violence. Formed in 1992, the Kenya Human Rights Commission is a non-governmental organization that champions human rights issues at all levels. Irene Soila is a program advisor at KHRC. Soila says violence against women is a problem that everyone needs to address.
We need to create champions of SGBV, and that is from both genders, both men and women. We also need to create opportunities for people, because the poverty is really one of the escalators of SGBV. So let's create opportunities. The other thing is also creating awareness around SGBV. People do not know that it is a major problem.
Gamer Odhiambo hopes futaa will educate Kenyan youth on gender-based violence and keep both their minds and bodies healthy. Lenny Ruvaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Thanks, Lenny. In October, top Kenyan distance runner Agnes Tirop was stabbed to death and her husband was charged with her murder. He pled not guilty. Julius Yego is Kenya's former world javelin champion and 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Following Tirop's death, Yego called on Kenyans to speak out against gender-based violence.
If you have a problem with, you know, in relationship, let's speak up. Speak up. You know, look for someone, a close friend. Even if it is not an athlete, I'm very sure when you speak up, people will reach their athletic authorities and say, someone so-and-so are having issues. Can you help us? And I'm very sure they will help. Yeah, we need to come together and speak about it.
Now let's speak about Olympic champions Elaine Thompson-Hara of Jamaica and Karsten Warholm of Norway, who have been named the 2021 World Athletes of the Year. World Athletics honored Thompson-Hara and Warholm at a virtual ceremony on Wednesday. World Female Athlete of the Year Thompson-Hara won 3 gold medals at this year's Tokyo Olympics, and World Male Athlete of the Year Warholm won gold in Tokyo with a world record time of 45.94 seconds in the men's 400 meters hurdles. I'll give a sunny side of sports salute to both athletes, and I'll give another one to the energetic Andy Edwards, our Delphic Oracle of track and field. If you tuned into Tuesday's show, you heard Andy correctly predict the award winners.
My pick for the title is Elaine Thompson-Hara of Jamaica, and here's why. She won the individual sprint titles with times which have only been bettered by the late Florence Griffith Joyner, and the American's performances have been called into question over the years since her supremacy in the late 1980s. Jamaica were favourites for the sprint relay, and so rested her until the final when she ran the second leg in their triumphant performance. My prediction, and I have no inside knowledge whatsoever, is that Elaine Thompson-Hara will be announced as Woman Athlete of the Year.
Andy, don't leave us in suspense any longer. Who's the men's winner going to be?
I think it has to be Karsten Warholm. To obliterate the world record mark in the 400-meter hurdles by such a margin was extraordinary. 29 years before, the American Kevin Young had won the Olympic title in Barcelona with a time of 46.78 seconds. Warholm of Norway, a great showman on the track, but with supreme talent to match, ran almost 1 second faster. In terms of running one lap with barriers, that is going to the moon and back in athletics. Warholm's world record is the athletics achievement of this century and more.
Now let's listen to Carsten Warholm being honored at the World Athletics Awards ceremony. Warholm chatted briefly with World Athletics President Sebastian Coe, who made the big announcement.
And the winner of the Male Athlete of the Year is Carsten Warholm. I'm so pleased for you.
Thank you, sir.
About time. That's yours.
So happy for this.
Now, there were no fans, as you know, in the stadium in Tokyo. But those of us who were really lucky enough to be there were rendered speechless by your run that day. At what point in the race did you not only think you were going to win the race, but you were going to rupture your own world record?
You know, first when I saw the timing, I was like, this must be a mistake, you know, because it's like I didn't see that one coming. And also I didn't see the victory coming before crossing the finish line. It was a very intense race. I knew the American and the Brazilian and all the other guys, you know, they were really, really chasing me. So I always go out hard and I never know what's going on behind me. So, you know, I was just fighting all the way to the finish line. And obviously when I realized 45.94 was a reality, I was thinking, this is not too bad. I'll take it.
Same again next year?
Oof. 44, huh? No. You know, it's something I'm going to work very hard to be able to always be better. But I think now it's getting worse and worse because, you know, we pushed the limit very far. But, you know, we're always up for a new challenge.
To reveal the winner, once again, our Male Athlete of the Year, Carsten Warholm.
And the winner of the Female Athlete of the Year is Elaine Thompson-Hara.
Many, many congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Now, we saw some extraordinary footage, some really funny footage of your grandmother while you were running in the 100 metres. Were you as excited as she was at the end of the race?
I think more. More excited.
And we love history here, and you created history in Tokyo, the double-double. I guess there's no chance that you're going to be remotely thinking about hanging your spikes up for some time.
No, I think I have more. So I'm just using every year, just take it year by year. You know, I went very close to the world record. So, you know, anything is possible. So no spikes hanging up no time soon.
And you told me you will do the hurdles, right? The 400 hurdles?
And then the 800.
Yeah. Oh, the 800. Okay.
I might challenge myself.
That's great.
And Oregon?
Most definitely.
Excited?
I am. It's close to home, you know. I hope friends and family could come out and watch. I hope I get some crowd as well. It was not in Tokyo, but hopefully in Eugene, I can get my friends and families to come and cheer me on.
Cheers for Olympic champion Elaine Thompson-Hara of Jamaica, the 2021 World Female Athlete of the Year.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In National Basketball Association news, the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks have been playing well lately. The Bucks pulled out a thrilling victory Wednesday night, as we hear now from the AP's Chuck Freeman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
An eighth straight victory for the Bucks and a game winner in the final seconds propels the Bucks past the Hornets 127-125. Tie game in the final seconds. The ball found the hands of Giannis Antetokounmpo, who capped off a 40-point night with a driving layup with 2 seconds left, giving the Bucks the victory.
We're going to be in this situation at least 100, 200, 300 times, so sometimes you're going to miss. Sometimes you're going to make some shots.
It soured a terrific start for the Hornets, who buried 10 first-quarter three-pointers, jumping the Hornets out to a 16-point lead before the Hornets' LaMelo Ball hit a three-pointer to tie it with 8 seconds left, but it only set the stage for Antetokounmpo's heroics in front of the home fans. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Hornets coach James Borrego says he does not want his players to hang their heads.
Took this team to the wire, you know, led for probably most of this game. Just stay with it, you know, it's going to turn. So I love this group. We'll add more depth over the next few days. We'll get healthy. Full steam ahead, we move forward.
Full steam ahead, coach. I like your positive attitude. Now let's go to Florida, where the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers team ended a long losing streak in Miami. The AP's Wayne Rustin reports from Miami, Florida.
The Cavaliers beat the Heat 111-85, ending a 20-game losing streak in Miami. Cleveland went on a 14-0 run in the first quarter and never looked back. The Cavs made 16 of 31 three-pointers. Kevin Love had 6 three-pointers for a game-high 22 points off the bench.
Getting a win here was definitely big for us, and getting a 2 in a row on the road is big for us.
Jared Allen had 19 points, 11 rebounds. Evan Mobley with 17 and 11 for the Cavs.
They started basically leaving the paint open because early on in the first half I was passing a lot, and so I just started attacking the paint, and I got going in the third.
Tyler Hero led Miami with 21 points.
You know, someone's got to step up. Multiple guys got to step up. You know, it's a collective unit that's going to get this done. You know, it's not going to be, you know, any easier, you know, in these next couple games.
The last time the Cavaliers won in Miami was January 2010. I'm Wayne Rustin.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, the AP's Gethin Kuba will have a spicy package of American sports news for us.
For the first time in 26 and a half years, Major League Baseball is facing a work stoppage. The league's previous collective bargaining agreement expired at 11:59 on Wednesday night. The league and players' union both confirmed the lockout early Thursday morning. Here's newly signed Mets pitcher and players' union committee member Max Scherzer.
First and foremost, we see a competition problem and how teams are behaving because of certain rules that are within that.
A number of free agents finalized deals Wednesday. Scherzer got $130 million from New York over 3 seasons. The Rangers finalized the contracts for their new $500 million middle infield, with shortstop Corey Seager receiving $325 million over 10 seasons and Marcus Semien getting $175 million over 7 seasons. In college football, Notre Dame is working on a deal to promote defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to fill its head coaching vacancy, according to an AP source. College basketball top 25 5 action, number 12 BYU was upset by Utah Valley 72-65 in overtime behind 24 points and 22 rebounds from Fardaz Amak.
That just shows that, you know, we can do a lot of other things. So this team is really special, and this is just the start of a, you know, of a great year.
Oklahoma upset number 14 Florida 74-67. Georgia shocked number 18 Memphis 82-79. And North Carolina toppled number 24 Michigan 72-51.
Thanks, Gethin. That's Gethin Coolbaugh. In English Premier League football, only 2 points separate Chelsea, Manchester City, and Liverpool at the top of the table. All three teams won Wednesday. First place Chelsea scored a 2-1 road victory against Watford. Second place Man City also won away, beating Aston Villa 2-1. And third place Liverpool defeated visiting Everton 4-1. A sunny side of sports salute to Egyptian star Mo Salah, who scored 2 goals for Liverpool and now has a league-leading 13 goals this season. In Premier League action Thursday evening, Manchester United will host Arsenal. Joining us now with a preview is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last month, the Manchester United Board of Directors held an emergency meeting following the club's devastating 4-1 defeat at Watford and decided to part ways with Man United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Since then, the team has been temporarily under the leadership of first-team coach and former player Michael Carrick, who has had to adapt quickly as the team's caretaker manager. And ahead of his first match at home since taking charge, Carrick told reporters leading the club has been a challenge he has rather enjoyed.
There's a lot happened in the last week to 10 days, and I've had to certainly adapt and take on a new challenge and different kind of skill sets, if you like, and things maybe out my comfort zone that I've never had to kind of tackle before. So I've kind of enjoyed seeing how I've coped with that at times, and you don't know until you're kind of in this situation. You know, sometimes you got to learn on the job, and that's been the case. But I have to say, for the most part of it, I've enjoyed it.
Carrick led his team to a Champions League victory last week at Villarreal and a 1-1 draw at Chelsea in the Premier League last Sunday. In the latter match, Carrick faced some criticism for benching Cristiano Ronaldo until the second half. But Carrick continues to defend his decision and insists leaving Ronaldo out of the starting lineup was not a major issue.
I think them type of decisions get blown up really a lot bigger than they probably are when you're kind of inside the team or the club. You know, decisions are made for a lot of different reasons, and of course it's certain ones get bigger news than others, but you know that's how it was. I didn't see it as being a major decision. It certainly wasn't within the camp or within the group. So you know, we all got on really well. The game went well to an extent, and it wasn't a drama at all.
This week, Man United appointed German Ralf Rangnick as interim manager through the end of the season. But as work visa requirements are being finalized, Rangnick's official start could be delayed until mid-December. Michael Carrick is expected to lead the team for their Thursday clash against Arsenal. And ahead of the match, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta said his side expects the unexpected.
You know, the situation you're going to face is very difficult tactically because you don't really know how they're going to prepare the game, the options that they can play, the formations that they can bury. So it's focused more in ourselves, what we have to do, and make sure that team is prepared to run there and beat them.
Arsenal are in fifth place in Premier League standings. Meanwhile, Manchester United are currently 10th in the league, and eager fans are hoping for their first victory at home under brand new leadership. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sporting greetings. This is William Cho Sekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the sunny sides of sports on the Voice of America.
And after their 2-1 home loss to top of the table Chelsea on Wednesday, William Troost Ekong and Watford are just above the relegation line in the Premier League in 17th place out of 20 teams. And that wraps up the December 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.